Welcome to Hype episode 110. My name is Selena and I'm here with Pam and Kristen to talk about this week's latest fandom news. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Great. Ready for fandom talk again?
Always.
Oh, always.
Good. Right answer. So Hype is, of course, Hypeable.com's podcast, all about the latest entertainment news and discussion and theories and all that fun stuff. You can contact us in a number of ways, including Twitter, which is at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on Instagram at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can email us, hype@hypeable.com. And you can, of course, find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypable.com, which is also where you can read more about all the stuff that we talk about today and lots more. So go check that out and check out the other podcasts we have to offer as well. Now, the first thing we always do in Hype is talk about how we hype, which is what we've been doing in fandom this past week. So, Kristen, what have you been doing?
Well, last week I went and saw Pete's Dragon, and I have to tell you, as someone who is a little nervous about them remaking it, because while the original, the only, is like incredibly old, and looking back on it, it has a lot of problematic things, like it's incredibly racist and crazy, but it's a product of its generation. It's a product of its time. You know, I still remember loving that movie growing up and like really being attached to it. And so I was really nervous about a remake and I went and saw it and I absolutely love it. It's not really a remake. They reimagined the whole thing. They moved its location. They changed the story. It's not the same tale that we saw in the first one, but they did a really good job with it, and the cast is fantastic, and Robert Redford as, like, this old man who believes in magic is just so endearing and adorable, and, it was really, really good. So, highly recommend Pete's Dragon, and you can take anybody to it. It's really not scary. There's not really a villain, so you can take kids. I think it would be good for kids.
That's awesome. That's so good to hear. With all this talk of remakes and continuations that just don't do well, it's nice to know that this one is a success.
Yeah, and it's a true reimagining. Like, I like what they've done with it, and Elliot being a little more realistic rather than the absolute cartoon hand-drawn animation does not lose any of his charm. Like, he's still goofy and like kind of bumbling at times and really cute. So
that's awesome.
Love it.
And how about you, Pam? What have you been doing?
So I have not been doing very much, but I did get a chance to listen to Young the Giant's brand new album, Home of the Strange, over the weekend. It debuted a couple of days ago, so on August 12th, and it is available to stream on Spotify in case you want to preview before you buy or what have you. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Young the Giant. I think anybody that's watched Glee will definitely know them for Cough Syrup. They've been around for a while. They also had some success with the single My Body. So, you know, they've had a couple of chart toppers here and there, but this album was really interesting because this is kind of the first time that I feel like they've really honed into one sound. It's very cohesive, which is really lovely to see, because anytime a band's been around for a while, you kind of wait for them to find their footing, you know? I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but I just spend too much time analyzing music. And also, the lyrical work in this is really lovely, and it's really personal. It's a bit political in a sense that it really focuses on, like, kind of the band's journey as a whole, because, you know, from a personal perspective, a lot of these band members, they are like first generation Americans, their parents immigrated over here and stuff like that. So it really takes a look at the idea of this melting pot in America and like what it means to kind of just be like this other ethnicity living in this world that we live in right now, where, you know, white privilege is a thing and stuff like that. But it's definitely worth your time to listen. If you're a fan of bands like Imagine Dragons and like Fits in the Tantrums and things like that, I think you're definitely going to enjoy this. And if you're looking for like standout tracks, I really like the first track, America. I like Silver Tongue, and I also really like Mr. Know-It-All. So there's three good tracks to get you guys started and see if you like what you hear.
Awesome. So that's Young the Giant, right?
Young the Giant, and the new album is called Home of the Strange.
Fantastic. I will be checking that out for sure. So I haven't done anything again. I'm just like the worst. I mean, I never do anything. This is my life. This is how I hype, guys. I edit the show and I play Fallout. So moving straight up into news now, I do have the first story in the lineup. How could I not? Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
There's three new Harry Potter books coming out. Oh, wait. What is that I hear? Is that Pottermore sending me a tweet? How did they know?
Nice try, Selena, but actually you're wrong.
Actually, let me Potter-splain this to you. Oh my god, you guys. So yeah, there's not three new Harry Potter books coming out. Although, I still maintain that that is not a totally wrong way of phrasing it in a headline. Even if that's not what Hypeable did. So this whole thing is weird. We'll talk about that in a moment. The gist of the story is that J.K. Rowling and Pottermore are publishing three new mock Harry Potter textbooks or Hogwarts textbooks, kind of like Fantastic Beasts and Quidditch Through the Ages. The first one is Short Stories from Hogwarts of Power, Politics, and Pesky Poltergeists. The second one is Short Stories from Hogwarts of Heroism, Hardship, and Dangerous Hobbies. And the third one is Hogwarts, an Incomplete and Unreliable Guide, which, you know, that's Hogwarts, the history, just not, basically, is what's happening here. So there's a few different things to note about this, but I just want to start saying that I think, in theory, this is a really good idea. Like, this is cool because it is kind of what we've been asking for. It's Pottermore content wrapped into these more digestible textbook-like packages. And there, even though it's mostly stuff we've seen before, there will be a little bit of new information. I've already voiced my disappointment on Hypeable that these are ebook only, because I think that this doesn't... I'm not going to buy this. Like, why would I buy this to have it on my iPhone? Like, that's not... For me, that's so divorced from what Harry Potter was for me. And as I also say, and I don't necessarily mean this as a criticism, this is Pottermore's way of putting content behind a paywall without saying the word paywall, because they are in deep financial trouble, as we know, because a reader or a listener of Hype pointed it out to us earlier this year, and there's a huge article up in The Scotsman detailing how much money they lost last year. And that's fine, but it's not... For me, I have no reason to buy them, and it's a shame that new, quote-unquote, new content, like encyclopedia-like content, is being presented in this way, in my opinion. But I'm very curious to hear what you guys have to say.
You know, I agree. And I was having this conversation with somebody else and just, you know, okay, Pottermore needs money. That's fine. I understand. But at the end of the day, when you slap J.K. Rowling's name on something and you say, this is a continuation of something that you love, it is a shame that it's not going to be available in a format that, you know, like most people can have access to, because like you mentioned, like you don't have a reader. And no, you don't want this on your phone. And I'm sure there are a lot of kids around the world that don't have readers or don't have access to ways that they can ingest this content. And it's just too bad that they have no plans as of yet to release these bound. But I am kind of hoping that somewhere down the line they see the error of their ways, like, and do that. Because, like, if they're really looking for money to keep Pottermore afloat, you would probably make more money by bounding these up and monopolizing on the fact that everybody would buy these and then putting all the money back into Pottermore than you would just releasing them as ebooks. I'm just wondering if they did it this way because it's not long enough to merit, like, actual publishing of the material.
Yeah, I can only imagine that if the books are long enough to publish them in actual book format, even if they have no plans to do so at the present time, like, it seems like a no-brainer that at some point they publish them, like, in book format, in, you know, a hardcover-bound format, because it just seems silly not to. It seems like everybody wants all of the Harry Potter content on their shelf. It's why everyone wants an encyclopedia and not just Pottermore. They want the book. They want to have it on the shelf next to their Harry Potter series and, you know, next to their brand new copy of Cursed Child that they haven't touched. they want it there, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it seems stupid not to even think about that. So, well, you know, I'm assuming that at some point it's going to happen. Even if they're saying now that there's no plan to, like, it just seems dumb for them not to milk that cash cow for all it could be.
Yeah, I agree. It seems so strange.
I also agree with you in terms of this whole, like, hullabaloo with the headline phrasing and Pottermore being up in arms about the fact that everybody's calling it new Harry Potter ebooks. But it's like, what else are you supposed to call it? Like, it exists within the Harry Potter world. And I think they're doing damage control because everybody was so confused when they released the information on, like, the Cursed Child script book. That everybody said book and forgot to put script in the title. So everybody, like, did, you know, that's the only thing I could think of in terms of that.
But
it's just, like, such a technicality. It's like, you're basically saying your readers aren't smart enough to read the stories.
Yeah, but you're also, I don't even know. Okay, look, whoever is doing Pottermore's Twitter account, I'm sure you're great, but this is weird. Like, stop this because it doesn't make any sense. First of all, I mean, obviously, usually, every time there's been some new Harry Potter news and everyone's been like, it's a new Harry Potter book. Like, Hyperbole is one of the people on the highest of horses. Sorry, no offense, Andrew. I'm just offending everyone today. Being like, actually, it's not a Potter book. I will tell you why. Blah, blah, blah. Even though it is. It is a new Harry Potter book. Like, that's the... It's not wrong. It's just misleading. But then you look at stuff like tweets and headlines have to be short and convey excitement for the link that you're including, and it has to convey the gist of the story. And when you have these three Harry Potter textbook ebooks Pottermore summary compilations, yeah, it's three new Harry Potter books. Like, that's not wrong, and I know it's clickbaity, but it's not technically wrong. So to go from that to Pottermore sending out personal tweets to every single news outlet, I think it's so strange. Like, I really, this is the weirdest thing. And maybe it's just because we don't see this kind of interaction between publishers and fan sites or news sites. And maybe we should have more of it because maybe it's actually good that they're being like, excuse me, this is actually like this. I just found it strange because it is technically new Harry Potter books.
Well, and so, it is the Harry Potter fandom. It's not the Wizarding World fandom.
No, exactly.
So when you're trying to address Harry Potter fans, you're going to use those two words, even if he's not in them.
Yeah,
it's because still
it's the hashtag
world.
And it's what people are searching for, and it's what's going to get these books read.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
So sort of by calling them Harry Potter books, you are getting more interest. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm harping on this. I just found it so strange. But Andrew's very excited. He's like, good on Pottermore for calling out clickbait. So, you know, there are varied opinions on Hyperbole, it should be said. But anyway, I would only be reading this on an iPhone, so I'm not going to buy these because, I mean, I'm already not a fan of the online media of ingesting Harry Potter content. So if I didn't read it on Pottermore, I'm not going to read it like this. If books come out, I will probably buy them, although I did like the fact that the last two were like charity books, so I don't know. We'll see. Are you guys planning to buy them?
I mean, to be real, I probably will. I read half of my books now on my e-reader, so yeah, I will probably buy them.
So let's move on from the Harry Potter world.
Well, we found out today that Zendaya's character that had been, they had been keeping it under wraps for the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie. They'd been calling her Michelle in, like, the script and in any discussion they had. And it was reported today from the wrap shows that she's actually Mary Jane. Like, she is the character Mary Jane, the one that everybody knows and loves from Spider-Man. It's not some new, brand new, made-up character named Michelle. And so it's just really exciting to see someone who's not the typical Mary Jane. And, of course, There are fanboys all over the world screaming because Mary Jane is a white girl with red
hair. Are there really?
With red hair. Oh, you know they are, even if they're not, like, on the internet.
I haven't seen anything.
Well, I've seen, like, people making fun of fanboys. I haven't necessarily seen upset fanboys yet, but I've already seen everyone making fun of them, and it's hysterical. Like, you know, pointing out, like, for the new Spider-Man movie, Aunt May is going to be young and attractive and, you know, all of that. And then, and they're like, and fanboys are like, oh, that's fine. And then Mary Jane is going to be played by a young woman of color. And they're like, you're ruining my fandom. Like, you know, like, it's just stuff like that, pointing out the irony of all of the stuff that's gone on before. But yeah, no, Zendaya will be playing MJ. So I'm really excited. I think it's a fun way to pull more people of color into the comic book universe, and why not? Like, I have not seen an incarnation of Mary Jane that I've liked, because I did not like Kirsten Dunst, and they skipped Mary Jane entirely for The Amazing Spider-Man, so I'm really excited. I hope she, you know, knocks it out of the park, so should be interesting.
It is cool. You know, this is like, and this is why I was wondering if there actually is pushback, because obviously, I mean, the outrage to casting a black actress to play Hermione on stage was formidable to the point where it was completely ridiculous. And that was on stage. This is going to be in a major Marvel movie. And this is actually a bigger, even though we kind of already knew it was kind of like a soft reveal, it is kind of like a bigger deal in a way, in terms of if you actually care about, like, negatively think it's a bad thing when they introduce diversity of classic characters like this. So I would be surprised if there wasn't outrage following what happened to Hermione, but in a way I kind of hope they got it all out of their system and they just gave up. I know that that's like an unrealistic expectation, but I'm just like, this is so cool, and I really can't, like, another round of outrage just would be so exhausting.
Yeah, and I mean, Spider-Man is a slightly different demographic. I mean, there's a lot of crossover with Harry Potter, but, you know, there are a lot of, you know, fanboys and whatnot that have followed Spider-Man for decades, and I can see them being, they can see feathers being ruffled. Not that it should be, because I think she's going to be amazing, but, you know. I'm sure there are people out there, even in the comments on the article, which there weren't very many, there were some people talking about how, like, Mary Jane has red hair. What are they going to do about that? Like, is that important? And it's like, hey,
you know what? There's things called wigs, and they've had really bad ones. I'm sure hers didn't even be that bad.
Well, it's a hair color. Does it really matter? Like, I mean, I know it has in the past for other characters, but, you know, it's like, how important is that really? To Mary Jane's character, you know, it's like,
Yeah, but there's, like, I'm just saying that there's ways to get around that if they really wanted to, like, to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, on a more, like, actual, like, contributing type of level, I will say that, like, I have little cousins that I hang out with a lot when I go visit family, and, like, you know, they're always watching the Disney Channel and stuff like that. She's great in Casey Undercover. She's really funny. I know that, like, I don't know if Mary Jane's gonna be, like, necessarily a comedic role, but I think that she has a lot of sass on that show, and I could see her bringing that to Spider-Man. And I think that it's great that they decided to shake it up a bit, because when you've done so much with Spider-Man, like, you've got to change it up if you want people to be interested. So stuff like this, stuff like, gosh, I want to say Tom Welling. It's not Tom Welling. It's
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Stuff like Tom Holland, like, you know, in his role and Civil War winning people over. I think all of that's really going to help make this rendition of Spider-Man stand out, which is what they need to do.
And it's just, I mean, this is great. End of story. But it's just like, it always frustrates me, because I'm like looking through tweets and majority of things I'm seeing is positive. But I mean, there are a few like, oh, you know, this is not like the comics and whatever. And like, first of all, I still say it, like, Tom Holland is British. Like, this is, you know, come on, get over your obsession with this particular difference. You know,
I mean, it's like, I was a little upset that Superman was being played by a British man when they first cast him. It bugged me just a little. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, the, you know, so I can see that being a thing,
British.
It's so different. Yeah, yeah, no, but you know, right. You get over
and
it.
Like, and Kirsten Dunst has blonde hair. And yeah. She pulled it off just fine. And even if, I mean, it would be so awesome if Zendaya's hair was like this, you know, like really cool, like red, sort of like maybe she like did that dip dye thing where it like, it turns to red as it go down. Like that would be so cool.
That would
but
be awesome.
I mean, even if her hair is not red, so what? Like who cares? I'm sorry, who cares? That's not the point. That's not how you become this character. It's not looks alone. It's that you become this character. That's the whole point. James Bond has been played by a million different actors, and they all manage to find something James Bondy within themselves, even though they are not physically identical to each other. So, whatever.
Exactly.
the end. This is cool.
So we have some Disney news for you guys. I'm pretty sure everybody's happy about this next story. Disney has decided that they're going to let Lin-Manuel Miranda and Alan Menken team up for the upcoming live-action Little Mermaid. And this is not to be confused with the one that is being spearheaded by Richard Curtis and Chloe Grace Moretz. That is being done over at Universal. So this is Disney's rendition of a live-action Little Mermaid. This is, of course, really exciting news for hardcore Disney fans because Alan Menken won 2 Oscars for his song work in the original 1989 animated version of The Little Mermaid. And then, of course, Lin is just America's sweetheart and everybody knows he's a big Disney fan. So it's really kind of a match made in heaven. We're not really sure what Lin's role is going to be so far. This was originally reported you know what, we didn't credit, oh my gosh, there's no accreditation. Oh, here it is. Sorry. This is originally reported by Deadline, who said they're still working out a lot of details, including the level of Miranda's involvement. At this point, he isn't writing the script, but he will supervise the story, and the studio will hire a writer shortly. So everything's very much in development, but I'm sure that Menken and Miranda are going to team up to do some song work. They have to. So this is going to be a really fun project to watch, I think.
I mean,
I think so too.
Can Lin just write all the Disney music? Like, just keep him on staff at this point. Like, they already have the stuff I've heard come out of Moana, and like the stuff he's been involved in there sounds awesome. And yeah, so I'm like, can they just keep him on staff? He can just work on everything from here on out.
I've seen those tweets go around too. I think it's so funny how he's just like. Like, I mean, I wonder, do you guys think, and this might be like a controversial question, but do you think that we'll ever get like Lin-Manuel Miranda fatigue?
So this like, is what I was like, that's what I was going to say, because like, especially if he's involved in too much Disney, I honestly, like for years, I have felt like this is what happened to Tim Allen. Like he just did too much work with Disney and then everybody kind of got sick and tired of him. And nobody really took him seriously anymore. And so, I want him to do all the Disney stuff, but I also want Lin to be Lin, and I want Lin to grow and, like, do other things. And so it's great that he's doing all this Disney stuff, but I'd love for him to just, you know, get back to writing the next great American musical, or if he doesn't want to do that, like, writing a book or, you know, whatever.
I will say his interests are, like, wide and varied, and that helps. I think that will probably help keep him from being, like, you know, from the rest of us falling into fatigue, because Hamilton is wildly different from the other things he's been working on with Disney. So it's like, he's got that, you know, he can dive into the other things that interest him, you know, to keep us all loving him just, yeah, from here on out. So, you know, I can see him getting past it without too much trouble.
And speaking of other projects involving Lin-Manuel Miranda, we also have some new Mary Poppins Returns news. This really excited me, you guys, because Ben Whishaw is reportedly in talks to join the cast of the upcoming Mary Poppins sequel. So if he signs on, he'll be joining Emily Blunt, who's going to be starring as Mary Poppins herself, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who has, of course, been tied to this project for a while, and the newly announced Meryl Streep, who's set to play Mary Poppins' cousin Topsy. So
If this goes down, I feel like this cast is just like, what else can they throw in there to make
this
it even better?
This is the best cast in the world.
I'm like, so excited. I love Ben Whishaw. And it's like, interestingly, he is reportedly in talks to play a grown-up version of Michael Banks. So there's the little tie-in to the original Mary Poppins. And then if you guys can't recall what this upcoming sequel is going to entail, it's actually set a couple of years later in Depression-era London, when Mary Poppins comes back to visit a grown-up Jane and Michael, who, along with Michael's three children, are visited by Poppins after following a personal loss. So this is just going to be wonderful. I really, really, if this, like, doesn't go down, I'm going to be so sad, because I just, like, want Ben Whishaw on this now so badly.
This is so cool. I just love it so much. Like, it's crazy. They just need Zendaya in here and it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, everything I hear about this Mary Poppins just makes it sound more and more appealing to me. So keep it coming. Yeah, moving on from Mary Poppins, let's talk some aliens. We got the first trailer for the Amy Adams star vehicle, Arrival. And if you haven't seen anything or heard anything about Arrival, the synopsis reads, when mysterious spacecrafts touch down across the globe, an elite team led by expert linguist Louise Banks is brought together to investigate. I watched this trailer. I didn't know anything about this movie. I had heard, you know, that there was a new Amy Adams movie, but I didn't know anything about it. I watched this trailer and it looks incredible. And instead of it being like your typical, like, action alien invasion movie, it looks like they're putting the emphasis on like language and how she interacts with these aliens and how they can find a way to interact and get a message across. And like, that is a totally new way to kind of look at the whole alien craze. Like, we've talked, you know, like in Independence Day, they try to find a way to communicate and it doesn't matter because the aliens just want to kill them all anyway. But like here, it looks like they're really putting the focus on that, and it looks really cool.
I was like stopping myself from the sentence I was gonna say. So I was like, but it's so funny because this movie, I've been writing a lot about it for the other job that I have right now, where I write about stuff like this. And to me, it just seems like such a like an Oscar bid that it's like hard for me to see it as anything other than that, than trying to get intellectual with alien invasions. But I do agree, we don't see enough of legitimately like what would really happen if something like this happened and there were no immediate like blasts of alien gunfire that we had to deal with, where we actually had to make the first move. Of course, I feel like in TV shows like Roswell and stuff like that, the whole they've come but we don't know what they want and how to communicate with them is, I feel like it's been done before. I feel like I've seen it before, but I can't place where.
Well, and they're not making these humanoid at all. Like, mm-hmm. The aliens are not. And I think that may be where it differs for me. Like, a lot of times, you know, like in Roswell or, you know, in a lot of others, they look human. The aliens look human. It's like Superman arriving on Earth, you know. They look human, so there's an easy way to communicate with them. Of course they would know or figure out how to speak English right away. So by making them not humanoid, it's totally different, and their way of communicating seems vastly under, you know, like we have no idea how their language works or how they even can communicate. So
I know what I was thinking of. It wasn't Roswell. It was this is the thing I hate. Maybe, this is why I have a bad feeling about this movie. It's the, do you remember when we were talking about the adaptation of Philip Pullman's Northern Lights trilogy, and I was talking about how I really hate that bit with the like anthropologist lady that goes to that planet with the aliens that are attached to those, like the Aleppo or Gazeppo or Snuffleupagus aliens that have those things on their feet, and then she has to find ways to communicate with them, and she like puts sticks on the ground. Anyway, this is so not important, but I really hate that part of the book, and maybe this is why.
I mean,
so it's exactly the same thing, but I just don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Aliens have not been a very popular topic amongst the Oscars. Like, it's not a very popular genre. They do not like sci-fi very much. So I don't know. I mean, I obviously if it's premiering in the fall, like that's the obvious ploy, is that they're hoping to get some awards attention, especially for Amy Adams, who's amazing. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the movie, you know, once it debuts, we'll see what we think of it. But I think it's an interesting concept, so.
Cool. Well, we will keep you guys updated. There's a lot of stuff coming out about it lately, so we'll probably have some of it up on Hypeable. Now, moving on to another space movie that I personally am a lot more excited about, but that's just me. It's Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence that is also coming out later this year on December 21st. So kind of a close contender with Rogue One, which I think is a bold move for this movie, but it does boast the star power of Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, two of the absolutely hottest names that I think everyone is just dying to see on screen together. Like, that's like half my reason for being excited, I'm not gonna lie. It's just to see these two iconic, hilarious, great actors team up. So Passengers is a movie about two survivors, or two passengers on a spaceship called, Pam, Starship Avalon. Wink, wink.
Yes.
which is going on a 120-year voyage to a distant colony planet. And there's like 5,000 people on board, but it has a malfunction. So two of the sleep chambers actually open early, and so two people are now stranded on a spaceship that is still 90 years out from its destination. I think this sounds so cool. Like, that concept just immediately opens up all these, because it's not like they're dying, right? They can live out their lives, presumably, but it'll just be the two of them. And like, you have to imagine that they'll try to, like, I don't know, like try to fix the sleeping pods and try to like find, maybe there's no food on board. Maybe they have to, it's just like being stuck in a submarine and technically being alive, but there being no way out. Like, oh, it's so claustrophobic. But these two actors, you have to imagine that there'll be some funny moments and stuff too. And there's been, the reason I'm talking about this right now, sorry if I didn't say it before, there's been some images of the film that just came out that we have up on Hypeable that just show like that this movie is going to look great and that these two still look great, obviously. I don't know. What do you guys think? Isn't this so cool?
I mean, it sounds cool to me.
I mean, it's no Arrival.
I just want the bloopers. Like, can you imagine these two on set? My God. I'm sure it's just a laugh riot. It sounds awesome. I mean, we kind of got a bit of like this kind of idea of the isolationism with The Martian. So, but like that movie had the funny in addition to all of the serious, and it worked. So, like, I'm very much looking forward to see how they balance that, because you have to have some humor in this movie, or it's just going to be like overwhelming. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks really cool.
And that's a good point, because The Martian, I guess, is a kind of a similar premise, except like he was actively trying to solve, like using his brain to try to get home, and he had all these people communicating with him at home. And I obviously don't know what it's going to be like in Passengers, but I assume that like there's no fix for this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to be like, okay, well, if I do this and if I plant this and if I like go here, then maybe I can go home. Like, I don't know. But you're right, actually. But I also like The Martian, so.
Yeah, as did I. So it looks cool. Sounds cool.
Yes, it does. By the way, The Martian is on Netflix. I just saw it pop up the other day. If anyone still hasn't seen it, I highly recommend it.
And that's it.
All right. Well, if we're going to move over from Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt to our new
one star
potential favorite duo. Lady Gaga is having the year of her life, basically. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. She has just signed on to co-star with Bradley Cooper in the upcoming remake of A Star is Born. And for those of you who don't know, this is a movie that was originally made back in 1976, starring Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. So if you haven't seen that yet, it's like a classic and you should definitely get on that. Cooper is actually directing this as well, so that's going to be interesting just to see what he comes up with. And it's rumored that he actually first wanted Beyonce for his co-star, but she turned it down, so that's okay because he's got the mother monster, and I really feel like Lady Gaga is going to knock this out of the park. So it's going to be really fun to see her do this. So this is also really good news if you're a fan of Gaga's music, because she is going to be writing and performing new music for the upcoming A Star is Born remake. And do you guys have any comments on this? Are you excited about this?
Sure.
No? That was an unconvinced sure.
It would have been super cool with Beyonce. Lady Gaga I think she's like... Now that you say Barbra Streisand, they look a lot alike. I hadn't made that connection before, but I actually think they sort of resemble each other in a weird way. So that's kind of cool casting.
Yeah, well, maybe you guys will be more excited about this Lady Gaga news. Of course, Gaga had, the Oscar-nominated Till It Happens to You song that came out last year. But we've all kind of been eagerly waiting to see if she was going to get back in the studio after taking some time off to act in American Horror Story and what have you. And LG5 is supposedly set to be released sometime this year, early next year. But we can look forward to a brand new single off of her forthcoming album. This song is called Perfect Illusion, and Gaga took to Twitter to tell little monsters all over the world that we can expect this sometime in mid-September, so that's going to be dropping soon. And she also swung by iHeartRadio's headquarters out in New York City to talk a little bit about the new track, which she did collaborate on with Mark Ronson, who of course you will know from Uptown Funk with Bruno Mars, and also Tame Impala's Kevin Parker. She said that the song is very much about the highs of the highs and the lowest of lows in a relationship that has gone sour, which is what makes it the quote-unquote perfect illusion. She also said the song is about modern ecstasy and that they all found a sweet, simple way of saying what they wanted to say with the song. Most excitingly, she also said that every time she listens to it, she gets this sick adrenaline rush. So that kind of bodes well, because anytime an artist is excited about their own music, like, it's kind of infectious. And, you know, it's a fairly well known that her last album kind of flopped. So I'm definitely hoping that she'll be back and stronger than ever with LG5.
Agreed. This is exciting.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan, but I enjoy her stuff. I don't like follow her, so I'm always interested when she has new
biggest
stuff
story
out,
of the
so
news it'll be, it'll of be the fun, year.
That's for sure. I was gonna say it's a big movie episode today. We of course want to talk a little bit about Hidden Figures. We got a trailer for this, which it's the adaptation of Margot Lee Shetterly's upcoming book, which is entitled Hidden Figures: The Story of the African American Women Who Helped with the Space Race. And it tells the true story of Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, the female NASA scientists whose work on Project Mercury was crucial for the success of the 69 moon landing. So, if you've checked out this trailer, like, if it does not have you excited for this movie, then what are you doing? Because it looks fantastic. It looks funny and smart, and I'm really excited. Can you tell I love movies? I'm just geeked about this one. I've watched this trailer like 3 or 4 times, and I usually don't do that. I usually avoid trailers, but I could not help myself. And of course, the three leads in this are being played by Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and Janelle Monáe. And yeah, they all just seem great. I'm geeked. It's gonna be fun.
It looks so good, guys. Like, it just looks like such a good movie. I don't know, and such a great thing. Like, I think I wrote this up in the story too, that this is something again that we just don't know about because the media doesn't tell us this part of the story. So knowing now, like, we complain a lot about diversity and there's so much that needs to be done, but there's also people putting projects like this out into the world and telling these stories. And I love all of these actresses, and the movie, like the trailer, just has such a fun but serious and an important vibe to it. And I'm just so happy that we're going to get to see it.
And I hope that the movie's soundtrack is just as like bubbly and infectious as the soundtrack mm-hmm. for this trailer. Cause it has like, you can tell that it takes itself seriously, but not too seriously. And it just, there's something about the music in this that really hit me too, that it just seems like it's going to be totally different from things we've seen before. And just like a lot of fun.
Agreed. And I guess we will move on back to space for a little bit of news about the new Pokemon movie, you guys. Live action. The writer of the script has been found, and it will be... This is where the space comes in. It'll be the writer, one of the writers of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a good sign. It's Nicole Perlman, who co-wrote with James Gunn, as well as Alex Hirsch, are joining the project to write the scripts. And I guess this is cool. I mean, Wikipedia has a synopsis of it that who knows if it's accurate, but they say that because this is based on the game that's coming out too, which will star Detective Pikachu. So Pikachu claims to be a great detective, and one day he encounters a boy named Tim Goodman who is able to understand what he's saying. So the two begin working together to solve various mysteries revolving around Pokemon in the city. So this is funny to me, because I imagine him like Angel now, because I just watched an episode of Angel and he's like brooding in his office. It's really funny. So I mean, it's funny because everyone was super excited about Pokemon because of Pokemon Go, but I feel like that excitement is already dying down a little bit. So I'm very curious what the interest in this movie is going to be going forward. And I'm also just very curious what they mean when they say live action Pokemon, because I am imagining all kinds of horrific things. And I know it's probably just going to be like Smurfs, but still.
No, I was going to say, the idea of live action Pokemon is a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah, right.
Like, What do live action Pokemon actually look like?
Exactly. Like, I was going to say, I'm excited too to see how they proportion them in relation to the people, because I know that they already do that for the TV series and like there already are set proportions. But Pikachu is so small. I wonder if they're going to make him bigger. Like small child size.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they definitely have some issues there, because Pokemon vary quite a bit in their size too. Like, I'm thinking like Snorlax and Charizard are huge compared to, you know, some of the others. So it'll be
weird. Is it going to be like Zootopia, but live action? Like,
and with Pokemon instead of animals?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's it, right? Like, weird. A weird thing.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
That's it. That's the end of our movie news,
later.
Guys.
Well, let's move on to a little bit of TV news. This is very exciting. If you're a fan of Mr. Robot, USA has officially announced to renew the series for season 3. So that's really cool. That means that we're going to get a little bit more of Elliot and all of our other favorite characters as he struggles to kind of figure out what the heck F Society has up their sleeve next. The show did dip a little bit in the ratings in season 2. I feel like that's kind of normal. Sometimes like shows go through sophomore slumps as they try and find their footing, especially with a show like Mr. Robot, which was met with so much critical acclaim in their debut season. But it is nominated for an Emmy this year, so the USA Network has decided to stick with its front runner for now. And it sounds like they're really excited to kind of see this story unfold a little bit more when season 3 premieres later in 2017. So yeah, it's good news if you're a fan of the series, and I know I will be tuning in. I've been really enjoying season 2 so far, so.
Awesome.
This is a show I need to watch. Like, it's on my to watch list. I just haven't gotten there yet. It looks fantastic, and all the stuff I see for it gets me excited, so I'm glad to see it's doing well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're not having trouble.
It's amazing.
It,
so. You will love it.
Yeah,
and
I'll get
Rami,
there.
Malecki is just amazing in it too. So Emmy nomination, very well deserved, basically.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's about time we talked about some Marvel news because, you know, what is an episode of Hype without it?
I know. Not that Spider-Man doesn't count a little bit, but you're right.
That's borderline. No, we have a little bit of news regarding the Netflix Marvel series. We've all kind of learned in the recent, in the wake of the TCAs and all of that, that we have a long wait for Jessica Jones season 2 and Daredevil season 3 and even The Punisher. But a new report from Comic Book Resources indicates that Netflix may have pushed The Punisher up a little bit. We are hoping that we'll be seeing that in 2017 now. They, in so a little bit of great detective work here, maybe they had Pikachu helping them out. They have a screen grab from the Netflix mobile app, which attaches the year 2017 to The Punisher, and it just has a very short description of the, like, it's a very general description that says, after the murder of his family, Frank Castle is both haunted and hunted. In the criminal underworld, he'll become known as The Punisher, which we saw most of that in Daredevil season 2. So you saw quite a bit of that, but, I mean, yay! Maybe 2017? Crush fingers? Hope that somebody at Netflix Mobile didn't just accidentally put the wrong year in?
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the first thing I thought, was that this isn't proof of anything at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I should hope that they're pushing out some content, some of, because it's all new stuff, and I know The Punisher's new, but at least it's tied to, what's it called? Daredevil, right? So,
yeah,
it would make sense to release it in 2017.
Well, and I didn't see it really reported anywhere, but somewhere on the internet, I saw that there is a casting announcement or something for an unnamed character that is supposed to be for The Punisher. Like, it's like someone who said something about someone who's casting a character.
That's probably why it's not being reported, because how would you write that?
Exactly. Exactly. There's like nothing, you know, there's no definitive information to report, which is why nobody has. But I remember reading something about it the other day, and, you know, when you've got little feelers out there, you know, they're starting to kind of cast things and they're starting to look at people for it. It just makes you wonder if maybe 2017 isn't too far off. Like, maybe we could see it by the end. So we'll just keep, you know, keep your eyes peeled, type of, and we'll let you know if we find out anything more. Moving on from there, we also found out that Marvel and Hulu are teaming up for Runaways. Now, I do not know much about Runaways, so I am counting on Danya, who is a huge fan of the comics, to kind of guide me here. Runaways is a comic series that follows a group of 6 diverse teenagers who, after discovering their parents make up the ranks of the villainous organization, The Pride, they run away from their parents and stick together to kind of create their own family and to, it looks like, work against their parents. But it sounds like a really cool idea. It exists in the Marvel Universe, so I don't know, like, if they have powers or if they all just are, you know, ragtag group of kids who are working together, who knows. But so I don't really know much about it, but it sounds really cool. And the Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, who are of Gossip Girls fame, will be executive producing and co-running the series. So they definitely have the whole teenager angle with Gossip Girls. They knew how to handle the teens in that show. So, you know, we'll see. But it sounds cool.
It does sound cool. It's really cool. I'm exactly like you. Like, I have no idea what this is, but I'm just seeing, like, Danya's excitement and Brooke's excitement and all of that, and that gets me excited. And I also think it's hilarious that it's going to be helmed by the Gossip Girl people.
Like, I wonder if they're going to have, like, an overlay. Hey. It's like, XOXO Runaways.
I hope so.
Hey, isn't it Quantico that was created by the creator of Smash?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Oh, is it?
You never so they know can where do greatness different is going to come from.
Talented people.
So, yeah, very, very exciting. You can read more about that and share in the excitement of Danya and Brooke on Hypebull.com. So the final, or next to final, because I have to put in this last one, actually, I think, is a really weird story. And now I feel very qualified to talk about this, having recently finished Gilmore Girls season 4 and officially being more than halfway through the series. Oh my god. Oh, that's so many feels. But this isn't actually about the show Gilmore Girls, but rather about Netflix and how bizarre they are. And how they're basically ruining television as we know it. And this is actually something I feel like we should be a lot more alarmed about than we are. So as Gilmore Girls fans will know, Amy Sherman-Palladino's original plan for the 4 specials that are coming out on Netflix was to release them separately. So it's 4 episodes and they would be released them over a certain period of time, so that fans sort of had the opportunity to digest them and to think about them and to talk about them and to get the fandom excited again, basically, to strum up the fandom. But Netflix nixed that idea, saying with releasing them all at once like they do with the rest of the series. They told TV Line that the reason they did this was because if they had staggered their release, quote-unquote, fans would have killed us. Which is not true. Like, that's not how TV fandom works, especially for a show like Gilmore Girls, where it has, like, seasons and episodes and waiting for them is kind of part of the point. This is so strange.
I mean, just look at our listener base. Like, I think we asked a couple weeks ago how we should structure a release of, like, the analysis of these new episodes. And everybody was like, oh, please stagger them out, because then it'll last longer. Right. No, I feel like nobody is... Everybody would just take it if they decided to release them, you know, in a staggered out format.
It would be a win for everyone. Like, there would be more traffic for Netflix. People would be more excited. There would be more excitement about the show. Because the problem with all of Netflix's series is you get it all at once. You can't talk about it because you don't know who is at what point. And you can't really, like, all your commentary and on social media and stuff has to be really cryptic and weird. And there isn't, like, really a set time when it's okay to talk about spoilers. And it feels like, and that's fine because we say, okay, well, it's Netflix shows, so that's just how they do it, even though it does ruin the fandom experience a little bit. But this is, like, something that has been so traditionally serialized, and it's sort of forcing a change on this fandom. And it's not like it's not great that they're doing it in the first place. But for me, one of the joys of television is that you actually get to watch it and think about it and talk about it and comment and theorize and all of that stuff. And Netflix, it's one of the reasons I'm not into the Netflix shows, because they kind of take that away from you.
Yeah, and what bothers me is I feel like when we first started hearing about the Gilmore Girls specials, like, we heard they were going to be an hour and a half long, and that there were going to be 4 of them, and each one was going to be centered on, like, a season. So I expected them to come fall, winter, spring, and summer. Like, I expected to get one every season. So it seems really counterproductive to introduce it to us like that and then just be like, no, we need to give them all at once like everything else we ever do. Like, it seems like they had planned on doing that and then just decided, no, we can't do that. And it disappoints me, because I'm with you. I like the anticipation and the theorizing and all of that. It's half the fun of, you know, Gilmore Girls or any show. And yeah, so it's a little disappointing. Plus, I read somewhere that, like, Amy was really, what's the word?
Sad? Mad?
Inspired. She was inspired by Sherlock. Yeah. And, like, the hour and a half, you know, they have a little space in between episodes, all of that. Like, she was really inspired by that. And with how long we wait for Sherlock and people are still excited, like, I think they could wait 3 months in between Gilmore Girls episodes.
And I will say on Hypeable, they did a little poll, and actually, like, when asked how did you want Gilmore Girls, 62% said they wanted it all at once. So, I mean, maybe they're right. Maybe this is how, in general, fans want them. But I kind of feel like this is, and this might just be me being a snob, but I feel like this is the same as people not understanding why it's so important for us to get new Harry Potter stuff in book form, is because they came into it via the movies. like, if you come into this not having watched it live, like, you don't get why that matters. I don't know. Anyway, it just, it frustrates me, and it's actually something that I don't talk about a lot, but I, one of the reasons that you will hardly ever hear me talk about a Netflix show, and one of the reasons I have a hard time gathering up excitement for the ones I do watch, is because it's there on the site, and there's like 10 episodes, and I'm like, oh my god, so much to watch. I put it off forever because it's such a huge task, and then I eventually, like, well, I'm really bad at binge watching. Like, I don't have time for that. So it's, for me, this medium of releasing everything in bulk, and then like you have a responsibility to watch it really fast, or you're gonna get spoiled. Like, totally puts me off, and then I never watch it. And then I get spoiled, and then I'm like, what's the point? So for me, I'm just like, no, not again. But obviously, like, it doesn't matter for this particular show, because we have to scatter it anyway. So it's just a shame. I think it's a shame. And I did, this is the end of the news, but I do want to just bring up one more news story, because I was reading about it through the show, and I actually think it is a big deal that we should just talk about for like a couple of minutes. So The CW is bringing a Lost Boys revival / reboot coming to you from the creator of iZombie and Veronica Mars, Rob Thomas. And so this is a reboot of the classic cult movie back from the 80s, which follows a couple of brothers who move in with their mother to a small town in Northern California, where they meet another couple of boys there, and then they figure out that the town is infested with vampires. So Karen made the brilliant connection that one of the reasons why this is such a good time to bring it in is because The Vampire Diaries is ending, so they're going to have this new, basically the same story of someone moving to town and it being infested by vampires. I also think that this announcement is perfectly timed while everyone is on the hype of Stranger Things, because this is basically Stranger Things on the CW. You know, it takes place in San Francisco in 1967, so it has that time jump or nostalgia factor, and it's about this group of four boys that battle the supernatural forces. And I think people are going to be very interested in that if they sort of try to buy into the Stranger Things hype. I think it's cool that this is coming back. I am excited to see what they do with this property. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I really liked the Lost Boys, the original Lost Boys, the movie. Yeah. It had some really huge actors of the time in here, so I'm going to be interested to see what they do with this. Did you say the new one is based in San Francisco?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm going to be interested to see if they actually film some stuff out here then, because I know the original was filmed in, well, not filmed, but it's based like a little further up in like the mm-hmm. beachier towns and stuff. So I will be into this, if only for the hometown nostalgia,
which I always have. It would be funny if they said it like in San Francisco, like of the 1960s.
I mean, like they could. I mean, San Francisco, a lot of it doesn't ever really change, which is quite lovely. So they could totally monopolize on the 1960s vibe. That would be cool.
That's awesome. I'm excited, although we did have a comment from Slytherin Hero 01 who says, on one half, I love The Lost Boys, so I'd be interested in seeing a reboot, but the CW has a habit of canceling really good shows out of the blue, cough, The Secret Circle, cough. So I don't want to get too invested and be let down again. I agree. Once the show is a season out, we'll decide if we like it.
That's Fox's problem, yeah. Too, because I've been burned at least twice by Fox. No, I'm interested to know how they're going to, like, pair this. Like, are they... The Originals is now going to be, like, a 13-episode season. It's only airing half the year, and I know CW's trying to kind of steer some of their new shows to be 13-episode seasons, and rather than these long 22-episode drawn-out, you know, monster arc kind of shows. So I'm curious if they're going to try and run this with the Originals, like, in the future, or if they're going to run it like they are Vampire Diaries this year, where it airs in half the year and Originals airs the other. Because if so, you still get a little bit of vampire all year round, even though, you know, it works out. Should be. We'll see how they end up doing it, but I just think it's cool.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the news. We do have a couple of stories that we didn't have time to mention. Of course, the big news is that R2-D2 actor Kenny Baker has passed away. He was 83, which is very, very upsetting, and we wish the best to his family. There's also been some news of reboots that people aren't, you know, angry about because they're just white men, so it's all good. Apparently, that's how it goes. John Krasinski, who we love, is headlining Amazon's new Jack Ryan series. He'll be the fifth actor, maybe the fourth actor, to embody the role there. And Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are doing a Sherlock Holmes movie. Oh my god, we're finally getting that book adapted for movies or something like that. So there's that news you can read about on Hypeable and much more. But now we want to move into TV show of the week, where we tell you what we've been watching on the small screen, marathoning or otherwise. Kristen, what have you been watching?
Well, it's summer and Unreal is over. So what am I watching? I'm watching the Olympics. I am a huge swimming, diving, gymnastics fan, and Karen's a huge volleyball fan. So the Olympics has been on like nonstop in our apartment for a while. But yeah, it's been a really good year and really exciting. There's been a lot of really fun races, like names like Katie Ledecky that nobody had heard of. And now, you know, she's everywhere. And, you know, her name is synonymous with people like Michael Phelps. And it's just cool. It's been a really fun Olympic season up until, you know, the Ryan Lochte being an idiot thing. Yeah, no, I've had a lot of fun. The Olympics have been a good time this year. And America's, you know, doing well. How's Denmark doing? I don't really know.
No idea. I think we just won a silver medal. It's so weird. Like, usually I will pay attention to it. This year I just have not. I have no idea what's happening. Other than the scandals, of course.
Yeah, which you can't escape.
Nope. But yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to catch everyone up saying I have now finished Stranger Things. Last week I was only like 4 episodes into it, but I'm done now. It was good. That's it. It wasn't amazing. I'm not like blown away by the show like everyone else. I feel really bad. But I did write an article up on Hypeable about how the lead main female character, Eleven, is basically Max from Dark Angel. So I was excited because I had a reason to talk about Dark Angel. The real show I think everyone should be watching. And it was so funny when I was watching the show. It was basically like, it's the same character. Like, it's exactly the same. And I know that they are already, like, quote-unquote borrowing from all the 80s stuff. So the connection to E.T. is probably more apt. But it's very strange. It's the same. So, yeah, just read that article, watch both shows, and tell me what you think. That's your homework. And Pam, you don't have anything, right?
No, like Kristen, I've been watching the Olympics too, and it's been really fun. So
okay, awesome. So moving into listener feedback now, we have one comment from Hypeable.com and a bunch of tweets. So Kristen, why don't you take the Hypeable comment?
Sure. House of Black wrote in to say, if poor Zoe Kay shows up in Fantastic Beasts as a nightclub singer, we will know the reason behind her casting.
That's a good point. Commenting on our calling out Fantastic Beasts for casting Zoe Kravitz after filming was already well underway an awkward afterthought. So moving into tweets now, Pam and Kristen, if you just want to go down the list.
Sure, I'll take this first one from Shelley Bookworm, who says, I'm watching How I Met Your Mother for the first time. Is the hype music from the Atlantic City episode?
No.
What are you talking about, Shelley?
Yes. Well, you know what? Andrew, if you're listening, hi, Andrew. Andrew is the one that is responsible for this. So I don't feel bad about saying that, yes, the music we use for hype is like the stock loop from GarageBand. And what has always been so funny to me about How I Met Your Mother, a legit TV show with a budget, is that they use a lot of GarageBand stock music in their TV show. And it's not just the hype theme, it's a bunch of the generic background music is stuff that you can go into GarageBand and find.
And I think that's so strange. So yes, Shelley, I love when people discover this.
They get so excited. It's always like
every couple of months.
It's like
people are like, oh my God.
It's like we brainwash them into thinking about hype. It's great.
Exactly. Which is kind of cool. Which is actually one of the reasons why we're sort of hesitant to change our intro music, because we think it's kind of funny.
And now I really need to go watch that episode again and listen for it, because
it will be so strange.
So,
just take the next two together, because they're the same thing.
Sure. Our next tweet comes from Cassandra at Palliard, it looks like. And she says, thank Pam for the Little Prince recce. Loved it, though I needed Kleenex. Aww. And she got another thank you from Kimberly Hainer, who says, I second Pam's recommendation to watch The Little Prince. I just watched it and loved it. I thought it was thought-provoking and beautiful. I haven't watched it yet, but I read the book in French class in high school, and I'm actually really excited. It looks really cute.
It is.
Yeah, but now I have to watch it. Not that I didn't believe Pam, but now that we have, like, two people being like, yes, this is so true.
Now I've got, like, some street cred. Krista McKinney says, regarding Cursed Child, this is like a tiny little spoiler.
This is actually a little bit spoilery. I didn't even think about that. You can just say,
maybe this thing that happens is vague, so future small shows can use their own interpretation. There you go.
I didn't read it, so don't worry. I didn't read that tweet.
And sorry. Have you still not read Cursed Child, Kristen?
Listen, I've got a lot of arcs that are due in the next 3 weeks. It's been tough going around here. I've got like 4 reviews due in the next 3 weeks for books, and so it's been insane. But God, I promise like I'm
Netflix
working on it.
Show. When can we talk about it? For crying out loud.
At this point, it's my own fault, so trust me. I'm not holding anybody to keeping me spoiler-free. It's all
We did have an email from Rebecca saying that she wanted to point out that we did mention the word in the last episode without thinking about it, so we are sorry. We just kind of assume that everyone's read it by now because it's Harry Potter, so we're like
and also I don't consider this particular word the big kicker either, so it's one of those things that just it accidentally slipped out, so but we are sorry.
Well, it's okay. No, I haven't caught on to anything, so don't worry. Our next tweet comes from Leah Rao, and she says, you all may already have this planned, but once it gets closer to fall TV, I'd love to hear what everyone is most excited for.
I
think we've talked a little bit about this, maybe. There might be something coming.
We talked about doing a special for that, if we can fit it in.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, but yeah, there's a lot of fun new fall TV coming, so I'm sure you'll hear more about it either way.
Watch our collective spaces, and that's the best way to find out when we're doing what. Abby Lee says, hi Hype, are you still planning on doing a special for Unreal Lifetime Season 2? I'd love to hear your thoughts and analysis.
I still haven't finished.
I haven't either. I'm sorry, Abby, I feel like I let you down.
So I've finished Unreal. I haven't read Cursed Child, but I've finished Unreal.
one woman show starring Kristen.
Yes.
Ta-da! Yeah, no.
We would love to, but I mean, to be honest, like, I haven't been that impressed with season 2. So I'm like a little bit less excited about doing a special for it, but if there's interest, I mean, let us know on Twitter and all those ways if you guys would like us to do a special, because then we'll try to make it a priority, because obviously we want to talk about what you guys want us to talk about. And speaking of specials.
Yes, our last tweet comes from someone named Marima White. I'm not sure. She says, where's the hype special for the Hidden Figures trailer?
Yeah, Marima, where is it? And where are you?
Yeah, Marima.
Yeah, I figured she would have showed up just to talk about the Hidden Figures trailer. Nothing else. To just show up, talk about that.
I thought she was just going to send in her manifesto and have us read it on the show.
Yeah, really. We gave her a little mini special in the middle there. We all gushed.
Exactly. So everyone, tweet at Marima White saying, where's your special? Because where are you? Or something. Hashtag where's Marima?
There you go.
She's actually been super busy. We're teasing, but she's everyone's like super busy at the moment, and Merima is doing lots of uni stuff, being better at unying than I am for sure. But so yeah, so we're still trying to figure out when we can actually find a time that fits everyone again, and that's proving a little bit difficult, but we will keep you guys updated as with everything else. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. We really appreciate hearing from you, both about, you know, commenting on the stuff we talked about and getting your say in if you felt like your view wasn't represented, if you want to tell us stuff that you really want us to talk about in the upcoming show, then let us know, or if you want to like suggest specials or make any recommendations to us, anything like that, you can do that either by tweeting us at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can email us hype@hypeable.com, and you can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. Go into the podcast post for this episode and leave your comments there. This was a great show. Thank you for listening. And if you like us, consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes to help us get even more listeners and feedback and, you know, ways of improving the show. That would be a great help. Or spread the word about us on Twitter. That would also be really appreciated. I actually want to give a special shout out to Sage McKay, who, when Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family asked, "I need some podcast suggestions," she went, "Hype is pretty amazing."
You're amazing.
I don't think... Yeah, that's exactly what I replied to her. Yeah, so that's like, that was so wonderful. And I don't know if he's our target audience, you know. Jesse, if you're listening, shout out. Yeah. we hope you enjoy.
What do we say to our celebrity friends? Give us a call. Come on the show.
Yeah, come on the show. So I mean, I'm sure he has thoughts about Cursed Child, because everyone does. So I mean, yeah, thanks so much for trying to get the word out. We really appreciate it. So that was just fun. That made my day to see that. So please get in contact with us to sum all of that up, and we will see you next week for episode 111, lucky number 111. Very exciting. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.